He was good yesterday. He's going to be good tomorrow. He's good all the time. And he can't help himself. Jesus himself said, there's none good but God. Well, if Jesus said it, and Jesus is the truth, well, that's it. God is good. Has he been good to you? Amen. I like hearing that. I see some smiles out there. Amen. Y'all got some reason to smile, don't you? Yeah, I could be 6 feet under right now. Doctor told me I need to get my affairs in order about 10 years ago. I'm still here. God is good. Our message today, last week we looked at Jesus, our advocate. Today we look at the Holy Spirit. For as Jesus was the advocate for us towards the Father, the Holy Spirit is God's advocate towards us as believers. Our message is entitled, The Holy Spirit, God's Advocate to the Believer. Let us pray. The Holy Spirit, God's Advocate to the Believer. God's Advocate to the Believer. Now, the Holy Spirit has always been here. He is God. He is part of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He was there in Genesis, for the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. We know that the Holy Spirit, who is God, not in it, but who is fully God, has been involved in all aspects of the Old Testament. We see him. Oh, but he arrived as a special advocate for us. Jesus said, y'all go to Jerusalem. Y'all wait for a while. Somebody's coming. I got to go. But there's somebody's coming who's going to be like me. He's going to be your advocate. He's going to be the counselor. He's going to be your helper. But y'all gotta wait before y'all start working on my plan, because he's going to be the ones who will bring the power and deliver it to you. Acts chapter 2 says that when the day of Pentecost was come, and they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Where did he come from? All right. As a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Verse 3 says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, foreign languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. He is our advocate. And as Jesus is the believer's advocate before the Father, the Holy Spirit serves as the Father's advocate before men. It is the person of the Holy Spirit who empowers us, helps guide us in living the Spirit-filled life, guides us in worship, in praise, in directing our prayers and our personal intimate Bible study and the understanding of the Bible. There are six points I've never had 6 points before. So I could do like Pastor Ricks and give you two sermons in one day. I'm not going to try that one. He was the founder of the church. Y'all kicked me out, right? Guidance in teaching and remembrance. Point number one. Guidance in teaching and remembrance. I think that's important. John 14 and verse 26. John 16 and verse 13. He's also an advocate in guidance in worship. Guidance in worship. John 4, 23. Philippians 3 and verse 3. Guidance in prayers. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Guidance in praise. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. Guidance in spirit-filled living. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 3, verses 22 through 23. And finally, and I think this is very important for us as believers who go through crazy things in their workaday world, in their families, sometimes even in churches. Guidance in times of trials. Guidance in times of trials. Mark chapter 13, verse 11. In Acts chapter 24, verses 23 through 25. In our first point, guidance in teaching and remembrance. The Holy Spirit as our advocate from God towards us, our legal counsel, our helper in living this spirit-filled life on earth, because we're not in heaven yet. He's given us guidance in teaching and remembrance. The things that we're being taught, he helps us to understand. Those who are teaching, he helps them to deliver the word of God in truth. And he helps us to remember those things which he has taught, just as Jesus told the disciples, the apostles, that they would remember the things that he taught them. For we know, having read the Gospels, that half the time those guys couldn't remember yesterday what he said. Jesus would shake his head, I'm sure, today, if he, you know, in terms of today, the way sometimes his disciples just didn't get it. But he helps us to understand Scripture. He's the helper. He's the advocate who teaches and reminds. John 14 and verse 26. Would you listen to what Jesus told his disciples? But the helper, the Holy Spirit, who sent him? Whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and then what? Bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. All things that I said to you. I overheard a conversation once. I'm not going to say where I heard it from. But it had to do with selling things. I'll just leave it at that. And I can remember years ago when some ladies who have a good heart wanted to sell some things to help the church. Their hearts were right. But Pastor Rick said, no, you can't do that. He had biblical reasons. He didn't use his mind. He had a sharp mind, but that's not what he used. He had scripture behind his response. So what happens with us today is we don't remember what God said. And we don't remember what Pastor Ricks said. Sometimes it's been a while since we've heard those things. But God can bring back remembrance to us. For if I can remember what Jesus did when people were selling in the temple, he took a whip, kicked them out, turned over the tables, didn't he? In fact, he told them that my house shall be a house of prayer. Now, in the state of Virginia, if you try and do certain things, you have to have a business license or get a permit, like a yard sale permit, in certain cities in Hampton Roads. But there were other reasons for why Pastor Ricks said that, and they're all found in the scripture. For we remember back in Acts when the people were selling things and they got their funds and they gave them to the church. The church was not selling things. The people were selling things. And there's plenty of other scriptures. But those things just ran across my mind as God brought those things into remembrance of me. So the first thing out of my mind was no, can't do it. Why? Because I could remember not just what Pastor Rick said, but what God said in his word. Now, things like donuts and so forth, he had no problem with. All right, but it's the mindset that we have to do is to go back and have the Holy Spirit remind us of scripture. Because it's scripture that the Holy Spirit, who's our advocate from God towards us to help us remember how to live for him and how to think about things biblically, not with our sharp minds. I can be a professor of nuclear science. It don't matter if I don't know Jesus. But if I know the Word of God, and I know the God of the Word and the Spirit of God who dwells in me brings to my remembrance the things so that I walk right, I talk right, I do right. Oh, I'm thankful I have an advocate from the Father for me to help me walk through my life. He helps us. He's our advocate in the world. The Holy Spirit provides wise counsel to Christ's followers who will need the Holy Spirit as a helper. The Bible says he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you in John 14:26. And he is an advocate to remind us, as he did them, of his teaching. John chapter 16 and verse 3, if you would. On the screen or in your Bibles. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will do what? Guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. That hit me so good. And I was so thankful just to go through and read that scripture right there. The Holy Spirit doesn't even speak on his own authority. Did you hear me? If the Holy Spirit has to listen to what the Son has to say about the Son's plans to carry out the Father's will, then what should I do? Should I think about things in my own way? Or should I be like the Holy Spirit, who doesn't do things on his own authority? Oh, I should be the same way and listen to what the Holy Spirit tells me. Because he will guide me into all truth. Oh, but it says, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Should we be like him? And whatever we hear from him, is that what we should speak? Or should we follow our own minds and do what we think is right? Ah, no. We should be like him because he's an advocate for us, towards us, from God. And he will tell you things to come. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God breathed. It is the Holy Spirit, my friends, who God used to breathe into these books that we read, the Bible, the scriptures. As men wrote these things, the Holy Spirit just kind of bore them along. They had their own personality and their writing styles. Oh, but it was the Spirit of God who helped them put it on the paper, on the parchment, on the scrolls. And it's profitable for doctrine, what we believe, for reproof, pointing out things that we need to know that are wrong, for correction and for instruction in righteousness or in right living. That the man of God may be perfect. You mean to tell me that the Spirit of God wants us to do things and give us the right tools so that we can be perfect in our ministry? Yes. Thoroughly furnished into all good works. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? The Bible says, by taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Well, if I hid it in my heart, how do I get it out? He brings those things back into what? I was looking for my preaching mask in the office. It helps me to breathe a lot better than this thing I'm about, because I have trouble breathing, but I'm going to wear the mask as long as necessary at New Brand Baptist Church. I could just take it off like I am right now, but I look out for you. I will do that. But I couldn't find it. In my mind, I knew that I had packed it away, but sometimes I lose my mind. Oh, but still, my God, the Holy Spirit will bring things back to my remembrance so that I can walk right and do right. For the Bible says that thy word have I hid in my heart, because I might need it one day, that I might not sin against thee. John 14 and verse 21 says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. How does God manifest himself to us? Through the word, which brings back to our remembrance, who the Holy Spirit helps us to understand what was written so that I can live right. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand His Word, because believers who have a relationship with the Lord are able to live that way because they are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Son reveals Himself to us more intimately through the Holy Spirit as He helps us into all truth and understanding. Our next point is guidance in worship, John 4 and verse 23, Philippians 3 and 3. Our advocate from God towards man, the Holy Spirit, He provides guidance in worship. Guidance in worship. In the conversation with the woman at the well in John chapter 4, she began to get religious on him and tell him about how we worship God on this place or that place. Up in the mountains, she said. The Samaritans were relatives of the northern kingdom and other races that were brought in by the Assyrians. So they were of a mixed race, a mixed people. The Jews did not like them, and the Samaritans did not like the Jews. And in the northern kingdom, even though God gave out of the 12 tribes, the first king of the northern kingdom, which is known as Israel, 10 tribes, he flipped on God and decided, we don't want to have to go down to the Judah and worship in the temple like we're supposed to. We're going to set up our own place of worship. And that's what they did. And by the time the Samaritans came along, it was all jacked up. The place that they, quote, worship was all wrong. The Jews in Jerusalem, sometimes they were all wrong. And Jesus had to explain something to her. In verse 23 of chapter 4, it says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true, not the wannabe, when the true worshipers, in John 4, 23, will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God doesn't just want anything when it comes to worship. He doesn't just want anything when it comes to worshiping Him. He wants it done in spirit and in truth. To worship God in spirit, amongst other things, it must originate, if you will, from the heart. It must be sincere. It needs to be motivated by our love for God and gratitude, as the Spirit of God brings those things into remembrance of Him and His character and all that God has done. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3 says this, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. He didn't say we worship God in the flesh. Now, you and I have flesh when we walk in here, but it's not the flesh, my friends. It's not the flesh that is worshiping. See, man is a three-part being. He's a spirit who has a soul. It's like born again. If you're not born again, you got a dead spirit. But if you've been born again, you are a man who has a spirit that connects with God. And you have a soul, the seat of the emotions, your feelings, your thoughts, your mind. And then we have a body. And you might see someone raising their hands. You see, it's not the flesh that God's looking, but He wants people who will worship Him in spirit, who worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. It is in this way that the Holy Spirit of truth will help us worship in a way that is not mechanical or formalistic, but truly rejoicing in Christ Jesus, without confidence in the flesh, but circumcised in our hearts, out of the sincere love for what he has done for us. Now, don't get me wrong. You can walk into many churches and they'll be quiet and it'll be silence, but don't assume that because there's silence and because there's not a lot of shouting going on, that they're not worshiping. Don't you be like that. Don't you be like that. Let me say it one more time. Don't you think that way. You should be thanking God and praising him, not condemning anybody else for the way that they worship. Now, you're not going to find me jumping up and shouting. I don't feel like jumping up and shouting. You see me jumping up and shouting, I'm faking it. Is faking it something that God's looking for me to do? Okay. Let me explain something to you. I was at a basketball game. One of our teens was also at the basketball game. One of my daughters was cheerleading. And there was a lot of great activity going on in the court. A lot of good stuff. I just sat there and looked at it. It was good to me. And there were some who jumped up, poured a popcorn over everybody, shouting, getting all into it. I was just sitting there watching. That's me. When the Dallas Cowboys are beating somebody, I just look at it and go, good. There's some that will be up in the arms and they're raising their hands going, yeah, that's not me. That's not the way I roll. God is looking for people who worship him in spirit and in truth, not in flesh. One young lady was dancing up in church. Then, as though she was slain by the spirit, until, whoops, I forgot I was wearing heels. Then she sat down and took her heels off and then got back to dancing. It don't matter. Are you worshiping in spirit and in truth? That's what God wants. And the Holy Spirit will help guide us in our worship. He also helps to guide us in prayers. Look at Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 27. When we are praying, the Holy Spirit helps us know what to say and how to say it. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. What? Think about it. If you say you don't know how to pray, who should you ask to teach you? The Bible gives us an example. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Go there and read that. Do what Jesus said, because it was a model for us to pray. And if we have the Holy Spirit bringing those things to our remembrance, and we go to that section of scripture, we can't say, I don't know how to pray, because Jesus told us how to pray, didn't he? And the Holy Spirit will help direct us to that passage, even if we have to ask somebody. But he helps us to know what to say and how to say it. He joins with us. He is hooked up with us. That indwelling Spirit of God joins with us, and he pours his supplications into our own. So it's mixed up into a nice, sweet fragrance to the nostrils of my Father as he hears those prayers, as the Spirit of God helps us. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Catch the ought part. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But, somebody say, but God. But the Spirit himself, our advocate from the Father towards us, says that the Spirit himself makes intercession. For whom? Us. With groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm not even qualified to understand what he's talking about. I don't understand his language, but he understands mine. And it is he who makes the intercession for us. Them little raggedy prayers that we might think of, he cleans them up. Oh, and he delivers them to the Father on the right kind of paper. You don't write a resume on some newspaper print. No. You don't send that to nobody like that. This is my resume. Excuse me? Take this junk back, boy. Oh, but listen, God takes our prayers himself, and he makes intercession for us. We don't even know how we should. We don't even. Our minds are so messed up sometimes. We need some help from somebody. I don't know how I ought to pray, God. I'm broken. Things ain't going right for me. I don't even know what I'm supposed to say, but say something. Because the Spirit of God, he knows how to get through. God always hears his prayers. Verse 27. Now he who searches the hearts, how does he know what we need? How does he know what we need? How does he know what we need when he's praying? Look what it says in verse 27. Now he who searches the hearts, whose heart? That's right. What the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He does not pray amiss. When he prays, he does not pray amiss. When he delivers his prayers to the Father, he does not pray amiss, for he always prays to the will of God. No wonder his prayers always get through. Isn't that great? Which takes us to our next point. Our fourth point is guidance and praise. Oh, the Spirit of God is also able to help us and guide us in our praise. When we are filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit, it is the Spirit himself who stirs us to celebrate and rejoice and give thanks. Did you not have your heart burning as the praise team was singing? Yeah, they sounded good. They sounded great. Praise the Lord. Oh, but what they were singing was something that touched their hearts. Huh? Isn't it while you were rejoicing? Not just because it sound good. Not because Brother Parker can play that bass. No, we were rejoicing and praising God with them. And the Spirit of God was joined with us. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. And do not be drunk with wine. Wine can control people when they're inebriated. The Bible is telling us that the Spirit of God, in like manner, can control us, in which we must be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, speaking to one another in gossip, TikTok. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not what it says. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Doing what? Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Is that what you're doing this morning? I heard y'all singing with the praise team. Sounded good. Giving thanks in verse 20 for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us guidance in praise, for we are filled with the Holy Spirit when we do those things. Giving thanks for all things to God. Singing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Our next point is guidance in spirit-filled living. Our advocate gives us guidance in spirit-filled living. Christians are called to holy living. 1 Peter 1 and 15 through 16 says, as the apostle writes, but he who called you is holy. You also be holy in your conduct. Verse 16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. But how can we begin to live that way? Well, the Bible teaches us those old ways, they're gone. And as born again believers, we are new creatures in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it is through the empowerment of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, who is God's advocate towards us. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16 says this, do you not know that you are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells where? In you. He indwells on the inside of us. To truly grasp the truths of this passage and the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit with these next set of verses in Galatians 5 and 22 through 23, we first need to have understood the context of the verses prior to that in Galatians 5, 19 and through 21. Because in those verses, Paul is contrasting the acts of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. You see, before, in the old man, and in the old ways, as people worked with the acts of the flesh, it was sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, and orgies. Those are the acts of the flesh. Oh, but the acts or behaviors of the good fruit of the Spirit is this in 22, verse 22. Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Verse 23 says gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. These nine behaviors are the result of the work of the Holy Spirit in the Christian's life. Now, if you don't see any of those in someone's life or in our own life, we need to check ourselves, because that's how the Christian life should be reflected, by those things and not those things that are found in the previous verses. He empowers us to have that true repentance so that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And it turning away from our sinful ways, confessing them towards God and our neighbor. Not only does He give us guidance in spirit-filled living, but in our next point, He gives us guidance in times of trials. Mark chapter 13, verse 11 says this. Jesus is talking to His disciples. But when they arrest you, When I got that track and I accepted Jesus Christ, it didn't say nothing about no summons being arrested now. What you talking about, Jesus? What are you talking about? Guess what? Are you a Christian? Are you a believer? Guess what? You're on the enemy's hit list. And sometimes God will allow us to be tested, to go through trials. Sometimes because of the bad things that we do and their consequences, but more often than not, hopefully, it's because He's helping us to develop our character, to learn patience, and to trust fully in Him. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry, He says. This is Jesus talking. Do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak from your own mind and knows better than God. But whatever is given to you in that hour, speak that. What am I speaking? For it is not you who speak. But who? Those of you who worry so much about what the boss is going to think. Those of you who worry about what somebody else is going to think. And you're going through your mind, what should I say? What should I say? What should I say? What should I say? Jesus needs us to pray and ask Him, what should we say? For the Holy Spirit, who's dwelling on the inside, already knows what words to use. But we spend so much time worrying, getting frustrated, and looking down on ourselves because we're trying to come up with our own words. You know, there was a man in the Bible, and his son was having some seizures and fits from a demonic spirit. And Jesus, He healed the boy. And His disciples came to Him and they said, how come we couldn't do it? Listen to what He said. This kind can only come from prayer. Now, what does that mean in my ears? Are you telling me you were trying to do some work, but you weren't praying? Is the reason you could not get the demon out of the boy It's because you were so busy and focused on working that you didn't even pray. So when we get in trouble, when we find ourselves in some deep stuff, when people are busy messing with us, as Jesus has already promised, we are going to get messed with by people in the world. He said it. We're going to suffer persecution. We're going to suffer put downs. The devil is our enemy. He's got plenty of co-workers on his side. He's a liar, and people will lie on you. And if he's the father of all lies, guess what? They're just doing what their father is telling them to do. But what should I do? I should pray. And did you know that the Bible tells me here that the Holy Spirit, Jesus said this, it is not you who speak. But it's your legal counsel. Did you know that the word paraclete, if you look at it, it has the idea of a legal counsel. You don't have to be in the courtroom. For your legal counsel is qualified to represent and to speak for you. The Holy Spirit, according to this verse, knows how to speak and give you the right words to say amongst them rascals that we work with, them rascals in our family, them rascals in politics, all them folks that come at us. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit, he's an advocate from the Father. And instead of worrying about what I'm going to do and say, you pray. And you ask God, the Holy Spirit, to give you the words to say and lean on them and trust in him. Now, you could die. I'm just going to tell you, that's what Jesus said, right? He told them some of y'all going to die. He said they could be arrested. Peter was arrested. You know what he said when he got arrested? And he told me, stop that speaking about this Jesus guy. What did Peter say? I'd rather obey God than man. Where do you think that came from? Was it on one of his cards in his back pocket? No, that was the Holy Spirit. Yes, it was. The background to the next verse comes from an event that followed Paul's last visit to Jerusalem, where a swiftly formed mob took Paul by force. And they bound the apostle and they accused him of teaching the Jews to ignore Moses. And he admitted that some 26 years before, he had assisted in the stoning of Stephen. He nodded his head. He gave approval of the death of the first martyr for Jesus Christ. But when the Roman guards heard all this noise that was going on, and they found out that Paul was a Roman citizen, they said, hold up. No. The commanding officer of the guard, he rescued Paul. And in trying to guarantee a fair hearing for a Roman citizen, he took Paul under armed escort, over 100 some folk, and took him from Jerusalem on to the other side, Caesarea up north, to appear before the Roman governor Felix. And Acts tells us there in 24, in verse 23 and 25, what took place. As Paul was explaining to him all these things that had gone on, and he explained to him about the resurrection. He gave him the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 22, verse 23. I'll start at verse 22. But when Felix heard these things, Having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision in your case. In verse 23, so he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and let him have liberty and told him not to forbid any of his friends or provide for him. Verse 24 says this, and some days when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, who was Jewish, catch that part now. She was Jewish, he was not, so she understood things. It says that he sent for Paul and heard him concerning faith in Christ. Verse 25, how appropriate. Remember I said that the Holy Spirit, we read that from the scriptures, will give us the words to say? Paul had given him the gospel. Paul explained everything to him. Verse 25, now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, this is Paul, Felix was what? Afraid. Watch out. Watch out. See, Paul was ready for Felix, for the Spirit of God was giving him the words to say. And the result was that Felix, the Roman governor, was afraid. Did you hear me? Who is Paul? Some missionary. But the Spirit of God was speaking through him, causing this high-ranked Roman governor to be a scaredy cat. And answered, go away from now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. And he did that many times. He was trying to get Paul to give him some bribe money, let him free, but he didn't do that. And Festus came back, the next governor, and he took his place. But I want you to see that, because you see, God will allow suffering to purify and test our faith. Oh, but he doesn't leave us hanging by ourselves. He has provided us with an advocate, a paraclete, which in the sense of those words means one who comes alongside of. In other words, a legal counsel for us to give us the words to say. He does not leave us hanging. In conclusion, the Holy Spirit, he is God's advocate to the believer. And just as Jesus is our advocate before the Father on our behalf, the Holy Spirit is God's advocate to us on behalf of Jesus Christ. He's the one who empowers us, helps us, guides us into this Spirit-filled life in worship, teaching, remembrance, prayers, praise, Spirit-filled living, and even in times of trials. If you ever feel like you're by yourself and there's nobody to help you, don't believe that. Because the Spirit of God is God's advocate, God's helper to you and to me, believers, on our behalf, that we can enjoy this abundant living that's available to us, along with all the benefits that come with knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. Let us pray.